You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Between Napa and Mendocino is a relatively new national monument. Berryessa Snow Mountain received the federal designation back in 2015, but those long devoted to protecting the habitat feel that this is incomplete and are pushing for an addition. Once known as Walker Ridge, Malakluyuk is considered a haven for biological diversity and touches Berryessa Snow Mountain, but it was left out of the national monument designation due to competing interests for clean energy. And that is now changing this year. A bill in Congress is now asking for Malakluyuk to be incorporated into the federal designation, which includes, of course, protections and funding. CAP Radio environment reporter Manola Sakaida took the trip and joins us with a better understanding. Good morning, Manola.
Good morning, Vicky.
So when I was reading your piece, it was very visual. I kept thinking, I need to visit this place. It's not that far away. How did you discover Malakluyuk?
Yeah, I was looking up to get invited by some conservation groups and just some of the people that have been involved with conserving this place. And it's funny because, you know, I've driven past this area a bunch of times, just always noticed this kind of mountainscape in the distance, you know, driving to other places. But I've never actually gotten a chance to spend some time there. So it was really cool getting to be there with not just, you know, people really invested in the area, but researchers and people who are just experts on the stuff that's there. So yeah, it was just a really great opportunity to get introduced to the place.
And, you know, you're probably not alone with people who might be unfamiliar with the area, maybe driving by, but not knowing what it actually is. Help paint us a picture. What makes this location, this landscape so unique?
Right. So we drove to the summit. So I got to see this really cool view from the summit of just everything that's around it. I mean, it was last month. There were still, you know, some fields in super bloom. So on the drive up, we got to see, you know, these just really beautiful colors. And yeah, you can just see miles and miles around. I talked to Ryan Henson while I was up there on the summit. He's the policy director for the California Wilderness Coalition.
What's amazing to me is that this fairly nondescript ridge on the horizon is able to command such an incredible view of so much of Northern California. And I've actually measured the farthest distance I can see from here, and it's 177 air miles in a straight line from here to the Medicine Lake Highlands of Siskiyou County in the Modoc National Forest. So it's really, really extraordinary to me how far you can see from a mountain that, from a ridge, that from the highway down there doesn't look like much. And yet it has this commanding view. It really almost as commanding as Snow Mountain itself or the other known high peaks, you know, or even Mount Lassen that I've been on top of many times.
So it's this really beautiful place, but it's also unique because of all the rare plant life that's there and the unique geology. And I have like a ton of fun facts to share about it. So there's plenty there.
What I just learned from him, which is so true, it's an important reminder. Perspective is everything, mm-hmm, right? You know, mm-hmm. It's different when you're on the freeway as opposed to standing upon a ridge, being able to see, you know, counties and counties away. So what I learned also from your reporting, I mean, this area is exceptional in biological diversity. What are the rare and native species that call this area home, and why are they allowed? What are the conditions that allow for these species to call this area home?
Yeah, and I forgot to mention this, but I guess one important side detail is that this is actually a pretty easy place to access. I'm not talking about, you know, some place in the middle of nowhere. There's roads. We drove up to the summit. So all of this is kind of accessible, which is really interesting. And what I learned from the people I was, you know, there with is that this place is at the convergence of a few tectonic plates, at least a couple. And over the millennia, these plates have shifted. So some of what we're seeing at the peak of these ridges was once, you know, once upon a time underwater. We even drove by what looked like this huge stack of rocks. And I was told that at one point that was an underwater vent. So that was just really crazy. And then there's the plant life. This area contains about 7% of California's native flora, which is impressive since it's, you know, a pretty small area. And you'll also find some rare plants like these pink adobe lilies that I got to see. You know, like I mentioned, I went with a group of environmental advocates and researchers, so I got a pretty thorough tour of all the plant life. And, you know, there was just a bunch of things like that. I even saw the second heaviest pine cone in the world, which maybe you've seen if you've lived here a while. It's the gray pine, by the way. These just really massive head-sized pine cones. That's beside the point. One of the people I came with on this trip was Nick Jensen. He's a botanist and also the conservation director for the California Native Plant Society. He told me that Malakluyuk contains what's called serpentine habitat. These habitats are basically rocky outcrops where there's more rock than plant, and the rock that it's made of is called serpentinite, which is, you know, a cool word. And also cool is that it's the state rock of California, which
I didn't know that.
Didn't know we
had
state rocks.
I learned something new today.
Exactly. That's what I'm here for. Anyway, so Malacoloyuk. What's special about this habitat is that it's not a good place for most plants to grow. You know, there's little water, a lot of rocks, so the plants that do grow there are pretty unique.
Some plants that grow on serpentine areas only occur on those habitats, and we call those serpentine endemics. When we get there, we're gonna have a chance to see a couple of plants that are rare and typical of those habitats. One of the things that is also cool about serpentine areas is they typically have these rare plants are able to grow there because there is less competition compared to the areas that have more common growing conditions.
Mm. Life will find a way, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Jurassic Park. Okay, so when it comes to the name, though, Malacoloyuk, I mean, that might be an unfamiliar name to people because that was a recent renaming of this area. It was previously called Walker Ridge. So what led to the name change and what does the name actually mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, a big part that I was learning about, too, was that beyond the scientific interest in this area, it's also really important for tribes in the area, and specifically the Ochedihi Wintu Nation. Previously, the ridge we're talking about was called Walker Ridge, like you mentioned. And interestingly, no one I talked to knew why or who Walker even was. So there didn't seem to be a ton of attachment amongst the people that I met with that name. I think I'm sure locals who have called it that for a while would have that attachment. But it was odd that we didn't know who Walker was. And that's kind of where the Ochedihi came in with the name. So they've been interested in protecting this area for a really long time. It's part of their ancestral land, so it makes sense that they want to conserve it. And then more recently, they became part of the monument status effort. So as part of that last year, they gave the area its new name, Malacoloyuk, which means Condor Ridge in Patwin, which is the native language of the tribe. And that name is an ode to the condors that used to fly through the area. Condors are, you know, a California species of vulture that is now endangered. And the tribe's government hopes that condors can fly in the area again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what's inextricable when it comes to land in California is, of course, there's an indigenous and tribal history. What did you learn about Ochedihi Wintu Nation's relationship with Malacoloyuk?
So what's really important to understand is that we're not just talking about a historical relationship. It's really important that we understand it not just as something that happened a while ago, but it's a relationship that members of the tribe still have today. And it's still important to the tribe. So I talked to Leland Kinter about this. He's the tribe's treasurer. He told me about growing up in the area and what it was like having Malacoloyuk and the rest of the Berryessa mountainscape just, you know, as the backdrop of his childhood.
So I remember one story. I was sitting with one of my aunties and we were eating and I was using the salt. And she said, you know, that table salt you're using comes from the hill there. And pointed up to the hill where I could see like this white deposit. And she told the story about how folks would go and gather salt there. Right? So it's like this connection was always kind of there. We were just sitting outside eating. And she's like, oh, by the way, look, you know.
He also told me that the bridges of the mountainscape, like the one I visited, were once routes for messengers in the tribe. So basically young men at the time would run along these bridges carrying messages. And Kinter told me he used to look up at those bridges as a kid and just, you know, imagine himself up there. Imagine how impressive that was. I mean, you had to have a lot of strength and endurance to run those ridges.
The ridge is like 3,000 feet in elevation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so it makes sense kind of as a shortcut, but it's still a lot of running. Yeah.
Yeah, it can be quite tiring, so the endurance is very impressive. Given that the area touches or neighbors Berryessa Snow Mountain, and this is, as we know, an area that became a national monument back in 2015, I mean, with that comes federal protections and funding. Given the biological value of Malacoloyuk, why wasn't it included initially in this national monument designation?
Yeah, so that's where this all gets tied into the legislation. The basic timeline is that Berryessa Snow Mountain became a national monument in 2015, and that was already because of, you know, reasons of the diverse plant life, the geology, just a lot of research interest there. That's part of why it was preserved through that monument status. And originally, the area that is called now Malacoloyuk was supposed to be or intended to be a part of the National Monument. But at the time, there was the potential for a wind project in the area, and that potential kind of stirred, you know, made legislators kind of think, okay, that needs to be figured out first. So this area was kind of cut out of the status discussion. But now that project stalled indefinitely. Last year, BLM actually denied permits for that. So advocates are hoping that it's now the good time for this to happen, for it to be part of that status.
What was the rationale from BLM to deny the permit last year?
Basically, there's been some looking at the area, and it's been said that it's actually not that great for, you know, wind energy. It's kind of like low to moderate potential is what I've been told. And advocates will tell you that there's a lot of concerns kind of surrounding big projects like that happening in this natural area. So I think that was part of the reason why the permits were denied. But yeah, advocates were just happy that it was stalled.
Yeah, and I guess deemed not to be suitable, at least last year. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio environment reporter Manola Sakaida about Maluk Luyok. It is a haven for biological diversity, which neighbors Berryessa Snow Mountain, which is a national monument. So this year, there is this new push, as you alluded to extend these federal protections for Maluk Luyok. What's driving this shift?
So there's a couple reasons for that. Like I mentioned, you know, the wind project concerns. A lot of advocates told me that they're hoping that another project like that wouldn't happen, or, you know, the potential wouldn't threaten the area. One concern with that is that, for example, that project that was recently denied or at least stalled, there were some concerns that that project would require roads to be widened, and that would create some damage to the plant life around and just really change the structure of the area that they want to, you know, preserve. So that was, you know, one concern. And then the second is that already there are a lot of people that do off-roading with ATVs in the area. When I visited, I saw, you know, quite a few just in that one day that I was there. And I think part of that is what I mentioned earlier is it's, you know, a pretty easy place to access, but it's still dirt roads. So I think for people that want to drive on dirt roads, it's, you know, attractive for that reason. But because there's not a lot of educational materials there right now, there's not a lot of knowledge about, you know, what's there, the plant life that's there, the habitats that are there, and why it's important to preserve. So people that are off-roading might unintentionally, you know, damage a really rare plant. Like the plant, the pink adobe lily that I mentioned, is, you know, just a few inches tall on the ground, you know, anywhere that someone could just accidentally stand on it. So I think there's a concern that without educational materials and just those boundaries, that a lot of damage could happen if people are just kind of recreating without the knowledge of where they are. So yeah, people interested in the area want to see more management around that, which national monument status would bring. I talked to Congressman John Garamendi about the bill. He's one of three California legislators who are trying to make this happen. The other two are Alex Padilla and Dianne Feinstein. They attempted to pass this bill last year. It wasn't successful, but they're thinking there's enough momentum for it this year.
But the Walker Ridge area was left out because of a potential wind development in that region. It turns out that it's not the best place for wind development, but it is a terrific place for a very unique natural ecological region. There are creatures and plants that are in that area that have found no place else in the nation. And it also is a very unique area for the Native Americans in the region. And so we're going to expand the Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument to include this very unique part of California.
Yeah, and you don't really have to look too far to see the benefits of a national monument designation because you have Berryessa Snow Mountain right there, right? So if it becomes incorporated, Maluk Luyok, I mean, you touched upon, you know, just the education and the outreach so for people to not create unintended harm to rare native plant life and species. But what are some other benefits of a national monument designation?
Mm-hmm. So already, Berryessa Snow Mountain, the national monument, has this management plan. So if Maluk Luyok was made part of the monument, it would be part of that plan. And that plan means more protections, more restrictions, you know, against, you know, off-roading, for example, and also more funding for it. So that could go towards educational materials, that could go towards hiking routes, things like that. And Kinter told me, the treasurer with the Yochidihi, that he'd really like to see the reintroduction of condors there. You know, that bird is one that has historical importance to the tribe, and before it was endangered, used to have a home in the area. So they'd really like to see that happen again.
You know, what else did the Yochidihi Wintu Nation say about this piece of legislation and the potential benefit of a national monument? Is that the route that this tribe wants to go in?
What's so important for the Yochidihi is that if this effort is successful, they'll actually be able to take part in managing the area. So that condor effort could actually be, you know, made a reality. And Kinter told me that the tribe has generations upon generations of knowledge about this area, you know, kind of like what he mentioned, that, you know, they just have not even just stories about the area, but just this lived knowledge of having been there for so long. And that's really important information when you're trying to understand an area and decide what's best for it. So it makes sense that the tribe would be part of managing that area, right? He told me basically that indigenous knowledge is important, and now it's getting more attention from legislators too.
In the past, our stories were taken as kind of like folklore or not to be taken with a lot of weight. But I think what people are seeing now that these are lessons to be learned. These were passed down for a reason, that they carry knowledge as opposed to just being, you know, some fanciful story. You know,
right.
they have real meaning and real lessons.
Given that this is the second go around for Congress and this piece of legislation, what are the next steps?
So the fate of this will probably be decided in the fall. So there's, you know, still quite a bit of time until that happens. But until then, advocates and tribes involved are just really trying to get as much attention to the area as possible and just, you know, let people know it's here and here's what you need to know about it.
Yeah. Finally, Manola, I mean, you started off by saying that you've driven past this area before, but you didn't really know a lot about it. I learned a great deal from your reporting. So you're sharing this with a lot of people about a habitat that is a relatively short drive away. Was there a big learning lesson that you took away from the conversations that you had?
Yeah, it was really great to be there and just kind of learn that, you know, appreciating an area is really important, as well as taking the time to learn about it, you know the names of the plants, know its story. I mean, even knowing the name of a plant, that makes you care about it a little bit more. And I think that goes for the rest of this place. Kinter also talked to me about that. He said he thinks it would be a good thing for people to just learn more about the area. And that's part of why he wants more educational materials there. So it's a special place, but, you know, it's also a fragile one.
I would like people to know that even though the landscape may look rough and hard, that there is a fragility to it. Sometimes it takes longer for these things to heal if they've been disturbed. And I think if people knew more about those things, that they would take more care.
I think that's a really important takeaway when you're visiting this place or any natural place, that every place has a story.
Yeah. And the more that you understand it, the more likely you're going to respect it and take care of it.
Exactly.
Manola, thanks for your reporting.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
That is CAP Radio environment reporter Manola Sakaita sharing her reporting about Maluk Luyok, a haven for biological diversity, which neighbors Berryessa Snow Mountain, a national monument that is located between Napa and Mendocino. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.